By Nature is a place where youth can voice their opinions and help one another about issues that matter to us, where we can shine and create powerful, uplifting, and informative radio for young people in our community. Tune in on Mondays at 4 p.m. at RadioRegent.com. Powerful by Nature.
Hi, welcome to Powerful by Nature on RadioRegent.com. I'm Paola, and I'm one of your hosts of today. So today we're talking about drug use. So drugs use has been considered a social issue since always. Legalization of marijuana in Canada and the overdose crisis has brought drug use into the news in different countries recently globally. So today, Canada is facing a national overdose crisis. The growing numbers of overdoses and deaths in Canada caused by opioids, specifically fentanyl, it's a public health emergency. According to Canada's Health, there were more than 8,000 apparent opioid-related deaths, which means is a type of drug in Canada between January 2016 and March 2018. So for the first interview, we will have someone from Street Health to speak more on the harm reduction and the work they do. So Street Health provides healthcare to homeless and underhoused individuals and has an important harm reduction program. So first up, we're interviewing Frank from Street Health. Yes, hello, yes. Frank. Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Good. Okay, so we have a couple of questions. We're from Radio Regent, so I hope it's fine with you.
Sure.
So can you tell us a little bit about harm reduction?
Harm reduction is an international approach to working with people who use drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, it started in Europe, in Frankfurt, Germany, maybe 1990 or thereabouts. They came to the realization that the traditional approaches to drug use had not been working. Nothing, the war on drugs is a total waste of time and taxpayers' money and human resources.
Mm-hmm.
So they figured they would do something else. They would take a different approach. And in Frankfurt, Germany, they passed a piece of work that is called the Frankfurt Resolution, which acknowledged the fact that drugs has always been with us, always will be.
Mm-hmm.
And that while the traditional approaches are not working, we decided we will do something else. And that's that. The new thing to do is harm reduction. What it is actually, it's a series of interventions for people who use drugs without, what we're trying to do is we try to negate or minimize as best as possible the harms related with drug use,
mm-hmm.
overdoses and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that, yeah. And so that's what we do without asking a person to stop using drugs. If they want
yeah.
to stop using drugs, that's fine, but that's not the aim of the intervention.
What would be an example of an intervention that you mentioned?
What we do on a daily basis, we hand out a lot of drug
mm-hmm.
supplies, drug use supplies.
Yeah. Okay.
We hand out injection needles. We hand out sterilized water. We hand
sterilized
out
water.
Sterilized cookers. We hand
okay.
out clean crack pipes. We hand out clean screens. And at the same time, when we hand these out to our users, we also take the time to see if they need any particular intervention with other things, say the health care, for example,
mm-hmm.
or housing and stuff like that. So that's what.
So what does what does the Street Health do?
I'm sorry?
What does the Street Health do?
Well, this is what Street Health does. Street Health itself is a nursing foundation, a community nursing foundation
mm-hmm.
that's located at 338 Dundas Street East at the corner of Sherbourne and Dundas.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and in the heart of the drug use area in downtown East Side Toronto.
Yeah.
So what we do here at Street Health, we do a lot of things. We have, for example, we have the nurses
mm-hmm.
who conduct clinics and so on. We make sure that there's primary care and stuff like that, wound care and so on. We have ID safe for people who are on the streets and who are homeless and who use drugs tend to lose their ID a lot. So we have a safe place to keep them.
Mm-hmm.
We have a safe place to keep them. Whenever they want, they can come collect their ID, go do whatever they have to do and bring them back if they want to. So that will be really safe. And of course, there's the harm reduction stuff, the drug use stuff, which I just explained. And when they come in for the harm reduction supply, we try and see if there's anything else that they need besides the harm reduction supplies.
And can you talk a little bit about the overdose crisis in Toronto?
Yeah, the overdose crisis is in Toronto is like the overdose crisis all over North America. Yeah. It's in a state of alarm.
Yeah.
To put it in perspective, 3,000 people, over 3,000 people in Canada died last year, passed away last year of drug overdoses, opiate use overdoses. And in Toronto alone, 308 people passed away.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a significant
alarming.
Amount.
Yeah,
that's
it's a lot.
That's significant. And if people were dying in these numbers from other from other causes, there would be a big hue and cry. But nobody seems to be making any fuss over it because of people who use drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So we myself and other people like me, like Street Health and other people, have decided we will try to preempt a lot of this stuff and work with people who are at risk for overdosing and work with them as best as we can.
Yeah. So this means that Street Health...
I just want to mention one thing. When we engage people in our facilities that mm-hmm. need to use drugs, they're under supervised care. They inject drugs under the supervision of trained staff, including nurses, who can look after them properly if anything go wrong.
Oh, okay. So Street Health runs supervised injection sites. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right. The supervised injection sites. That's correct, yes.
So why are these injection sites important?
They're important because without people just continue dying.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, people just continue dying. And I don't think as a Canadian society who's not afraid to demonstrate to the rest of the world that we are compassionate, humane people, are not afraid to look after our most downtrodden, we offer these services to people that they may live their lives a little bit longer and that we are not afraid to profess to the world that this is where we stand.
And what would you say for someone that says that maybe injection site will promote increasing drugs? Do you think that's
nonsense?
Okay,
that's the words of somebody who's uninformed.
Mm-hmm.
In most cases, people who are willing to admit that the injection sites are doing good for the community.
Yeah,
people who use these sites they're not coming to buy drugs here. They come with the drugs already pre-bought.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea that this place is encourages drug dealing is nonsense. There may be the odd person who may exchange drugs with his friends and so on, but that's not the same as a professional, so to speak, drug dealer pulling out his drugs and saying, no, that doesn't happen at drug sites, no.
Yeah.
And that's nonsense.
Yeah. And how does the Ontario Conservative government approach the supervised injection sites?
The Doug Ford government is not on our side by any means. He hates all this stuff. I think if it were left to his devices, he would just shut them all down.
Yeah.
But it has come a lot. It's a lot bigger than he is now.
I think there's been a lot of advocacy in the past year that's kind of put pressure.
Absolutely. It's a lot bigger than him. You can't put the genie back in the bottle for one thing, and you can't unscramble a. The fact of the matter is that people all over Canada, all over Toronto, have realized that we're providing a useful and necessary service for people who use drugs, and we're not going to let any politician stop it.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. But we will have some opposition. I have no doubt about that.
Yeah. Do you think attitudes towards kind of drug use and supervised injection sites have changed over the past, like, 5 years, decade?
Yes. I would suggest within the past year or so, it has changed dramatically. I have worked in supervising section sites, both at Toronto Public Health at Victoria Street and one at the Regent Park area. And the numbers have increased. The works at Toronto Public Health sees over 150 people a day, every single day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Regent Park sees about 40, 50 people every day. So the services are obviously needed.
Yeah.
And people have realized that, wait a minute, this nonsense about encouraging drugs and so on is just blowing smoke. And they have continued to make use of the injection sites.
And are they all run by volunteers?
No. Some are run by volunteers and some are run by a combination of volunteers and paid staff. At the one here at Street Hill, we have paid staff. At the works, we have paid staff.
Okay.
And what we call people with lived experience, people who actually use the facilities are also working there part-time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some volunteer work. The Moss Park site started off with volunteers. They worked their butts off.
Yeah.
But they're now paid staff.
Okay. And how can people support Street Health?
Okay, well, that's a very good question. I like that. That's a very good question as well. Make as much noise as you can. Tell the powers that be, whichever government they choose to serve, that injection sites are a good thing for the community, for the safety of the community, the safety of the individuals, and it will make Toronto a much better place internationally as ever done before, because people will continue to use drugs, and the war on drugs is a total waste of time, and we're not turning, we don't intend to turn the clock back.
So, well, thank you very much for your time, Frank. So we really think that this information should reach out to other folks, and you are an important part of that.
I hope I've been of some help.
Yes,
definitely. No, you're an important part of that.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's
so
it.
Thank you very much. I love you all.
Thank you so much.
Bye. And we're back to Powerful by Nature on RadioRegion.com. So you're listening to Powerful by Nature. So if you're just wrapping up, we got an interview with Frank from Street Health about the overdose crisis in Toronto and heart foam reduction. So, and a little bit about injection sites and what our injection sites are. And so for the second half of the show, we'll be talking about weed. So recreational cannabis, most commonly known as weed, was legalized on October 17, 2018. So you must be 18 and older to buy it, use it, possess it, and grow it in residential cannabis. You can smoke it and vape cannabis in private residences, many outdoors public spaces like sidewalks, parks, designated room, hotels, motels, inns, and some residential vehicles and boats. So But let's say some buildings has like a written that you cannot smoke within certain like distance. That means you cannot smoke there, but also cigarettes. Legally in Canada, you're able to have a maximum of 30 grams per residence. So it's about an ounce of dried cannabis in public at any time. And you're able to grow 4 plants per residence, not per person. So cannabis or weed affects people differently, and it comes in different strains that produce different effects. So new users usually feel the effects more intense than experienced users. So this is because the cannabis does the more you use it, the less effects you feel. And for some of them, the use of cannabis can be relaxing, enjoyable, or for others, it might be a feeling of tiredness or anxiety. And for the common feelings, it can be like euphoria, heightened sensory perceptions, happiness, hunger. And the effects will depend on the different factors, such as how often the individual uses cannabis, how long it has been since the last use of cannabis, the strain of the cannabis, and how they took the cannabis. But also, the commonly reported negative or less enjoyable effects include fear of panic, trouble concentrating, decreased coordination, and decreased interest of completing tasks. In 2015, 25% of Canadian youth ages 15 and 45 reporting using cannabis in the last 12 months. And the new cannabis survey in 2017 suggests that the number is as high as 43%. Of people that are between 16 and 24 years old. However, this survey might be a little bit different depending on where did you ask the questions. If you ask the questions in a school, then the fear of getting caught by the parents or a consequence might decrease the honesty of the answers. Whereas if you ask the questions in like more like an open space where they are they for sure know this is anonymous, then the results might be more accurate and more honest. So, but anyways, the number says that it has increased a lot since 2017. However, an estimate of 500,000 Canadians already have a criminal record of possessing this now legal drug. So the federal government said that they will pardon Canadians with a record simple of pot possession under 30 grams. However, no timeline has been released. So remember we said that 30 grams was like the legal amount you can have. Well, it's the legal. Everyone before 20 grams, they will be able to start the process of pardon. However, we don't know how the process will look like. Charges for marijuana possessions also have disproportionately affected racialized communities, especially Black and Indigenous people. So also a recent study found that Indigenous people in Regina, so United States, were almost...
Saskatchewan?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's okay.
I thought it was United States. Saskatchewan were almost 9 times more likely to be arrested for pot possession than whites. And Blacks in Halifax were 5 times more likely. So we know that we've been... like
arresting
Black folks just because they're Black. You know, we do a simple judgment easily. So in 2017, Toronto Star's analysis found that Black people in the city were 3 times more likely to be arrested for marijuana possessions than their white peers. These numbers are real, right? So it's a big problem. Now, time will tell how effective this is and how the pardon system will be. If you're just wrapping up, so we talk a little bit about cannabis and what those cannabis is and a little bit about fun facts for cannabis. For the third part of the show, we're going to talk a little bit more personal on the drug use with my colleague here.
Hello.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about a little bit. Let's start with drug education, because education is the roots of everything, right? So we know that with sex ed, to teach kids abstinence doesn't work. Mm-hmm. People won't stop having sex just because you teach them abstinence. I think it's the same with drug use.
Yes, it is.
If you teach drug use abstinence, then that doesn't work. We've seen that, how the first interview we had with Frank, he also said that drug has been always there since history, since decades. So it's something that will always be there. So he proposed this injection sites where it's supervised, where people doesn't get overdose. So I think that's the key of a good drug education to get these sites effective and to teach folks to take care of them with not having an overdose and also maybe teach consent, because that's also something very important.
Right. And as we were talking about earlier, the crucial difference that, you know, teaching young people who as the survey results we read out earlier, you know, even under the age of 19 might be using weed, for example, teaching them about the effects of weed and the laws surrounding weed use and criminalization of, you know, for example, still selling weed. That's still a criminal offense. Teaching them about all that is not encouraging them to use drugs, right? There's a really crucial difference between educating and encouragement. And we think it's important to point that out. And as you pointed out, those incredible connections between teaching a comprehensive sexual education.
Exactly.
It's the same kind of thing. Like teaching comprehensive sexual education doesn't mean encouraging people who are not ready to have sex.
Abortions, like that we legalize, that doesn't mean encouragement.
Yeah.
It means protection.
Exactly.
Same with these sites. So if we learn
it's
how
about
to...
safety, it's about harm reduction across the board.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's about giving people all the information they need to provide informed consent in situations.
Yeah. So drug use has been always there. Canada just legalized that, but that doesn't mean that it's like going crazy. Actually, the statistics is the same.
Mm-hmm.
People are still buying weed in their local store, but now safety. And now this weed pays taxes, right?
When
so these taxes goes to schools, community centers. These taxes goes to the community, right?
Yeah.
Before weed wasn't legalized, then this whole money was under the table.
Yeah, it wasn't going back into the community in
exactly.
the same way.
Exactly.
And yeah, now, you know, right now the only place in Ontario currently you can buy it is through the online Ontario Cannabis Store, which some people might know. And yeah, when you buy from that store, all that money is going back into the government and all the
exactly.
the wonderful, incredible services like education and healthcare, which are so important.
Exactly. And also this money from taxes can go to these places where they control over those. Will
exactly.
they provide
naloxone training to reduce reverse overdoses, to supervise
nursing.
Injection sites, to nursing, to
yeah.
supports for underhoused and homeless folks across the city.
Exactly. To open new programs about how to, like, drug education.
Yeah.
To put it in the curriculum. All this stuff that are going to be one day able.
Yeah. Because as we were just saying, just say no doesn't work. And the war on drugs has proven to criminalize brown and black people globally and just increase incarceration, especially in the United States. So we know that doesn't work, and we know it's incredibly harmful. So it's a positive development, the legalization of weed.
Exactly, because we all know that things happen, right? We were all teenagers, we were all young. And also there's all these people in jail for drug possession that their life has changed so much,
mm-hmm.
so much. And these pardons are going to, well, at least as we know,
yes.
it's going to be so hard
yeah.
to get a pardon, such a process.
Yeah, hopefully it will be a simple process. And
so
they
we
said
hopefully get a
fees,
simple process,
but
exactly. But
we'll see when it rolls out what it looks
know.
Like. Yeah.
We don't know how it will look like. And also, why would it have to exist even a process for that?
Yeah, even, exactly.
Like it should
That's
be just
question.
Automatically.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, and that could be a policy decision the government could have made, but they chose not to.
Also, we need to think about how hard it's going to be for a black or indigenous, whereas a white.
Yes.
Right? Maybe if there's white, it's going to be easier the process, faster, because we have a stigma about
yeah.
around it, too.
Yeah.
With drug use and with everything.
Exactly.
Everything. So abstinence, just to wrap up, to have a good like conclusion for this show. We just wanted to say this out loud to inform people, because teenagers, kids, adults have to have this information to be healthy, to have to be good, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to not stigmatize drugs.
Exactly. Harm reduction saves lives.
Exactly. Because harm reduction saves lives. We all know that. And we should be part of our lives and our education. And it should be something we should teach our kids. Because if they do decide to use drugs, then they should do it in a safe way. And then they should know the consequences, and they should know that peer pressure is not good.
Mm-hmm.
That they have the right to say no to anybody,
yeah.
always.
Exactly.
Always, always, at any time. Even they have a cigarette there, or they've already buy it or something, they have the right to say no always.
Yeah, that's right? Great. Yeah.
So that's something it needs to be spoken out loud. It needs to be said.
Mm-hmm.
And we... So thank you very much. We are Powerful by Nature on RadioRegion.com. That's the show for today. As always, if you think you may be pregnant or as a young parent, 19 years of age or under, please contact Jesse Center at 416-365-188 or jessecenter.org. If you would like to be a guest on Powerful by Nature show, please email us at powerfulbynature@jessecenter.org. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to thank you guys all, because this will be my last...
Paula's last show.
Yeah, I will be leaving back to Mexico. It was a surprise, but I'm going to leave back to Mexico.
We'll miss you.
We'll miss you. So today is going to be my last show. Thank you very much. I've learned so much. And please continue listening to us.
Please continue listening. We'll be back in the new year with some great new shows for you. And we hope everyone has a positive and happy end to their 2017 or 2018. Oh, my
yeah.
gosh.
2018. Exactly.
Welcome to 2019.
So we're going to have a short music break. And that's everything for today. Thank you very much.